And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Yo, what up, podcast people? It's the one and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Lo, and we back with another episode of the All Top Podcast, a.k.a. Derrick Rose, last and final year in the NBA. Shout out to my man, Derrick Rose, over in the corner. This is going to be his last.
These podcast year. He's progressively getting worse, by the way.
He's retiring this year, and he's going to be a full-time podcaster. Shout out to my man, Agent Zero. Say what's up, man.
I hope you weren't talking about me doing the retiring.
I'm not going to lie, though. That was a terrible podcast name.
It was very bad.
I'll give myself
It wasn't even a podcast name. It was worse than the Drake one I did last week.
It was a statement. That really wasn't a podcast.
We'll
go back to the corny ones. To the pick and pops.
I need everybody
to
know.
On-ball defense. Name is
on-ball defense. That Low messed up the intro, but edited it out. So, just want to put that on the record that he did mess up an intro. We have both messed up one officially. It's been a minute since we kicked.
I've messed up way more than one.
Okay, whatever. I feel like if I don't hit Low up about the podcast, we go a whole month without recording. It's amazing.
You just went out of town. What are you talking about?
No. I gave Low some days to hit me up and say let's record. And
how am I supposed to know when you're back? How am I supposed to know if you don't hit me up and tell me you're back?
You have to ask, and when you back, when you want to record. You didn't say none of that.
As a side note, you hit me up. This man hit me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning like, yo, you ready to record? I'm like, bro, I'm sleeping. What are you talking about?
No, I just wanted to know when you wanted to record. I said podcast ? Just because
Not today. I'm talking about like before you went to Detroit. You hit me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And you're giving the people the evidence they need that I keep hitting you up.
But 2 o'clock in the morning?
This is a one-way relationship, Lo. Come on, man.
No, it's not. Get the fuck out of here, agent.
Nah, you got to start texting first, man. I'm telling you, man. But anyway, we're here now.
I have proof that I text first.
Yeah, we're here now. And we're on the pod. Lo, a lot of stuff has happened. Right before we started the pod, Lo was talking about DeMar DeRozan was in the news a couple weeks ago before the All-Star weekend. He put out a tweet talking about how the depression was really getting to him. And DeMar DeRozan is one of the more playful, happy, and charitable people in the NBA. You see him a lot if you follow his Twitter, doing this for Compton or this for Toronto. And it's kind of just maybe a curveball, let's say, to see that DeRozan was having struggles mentally. And of course, Lo, I was in some chats and some online chats. You know how the internet can get. And they did not give a flying soul. They were just going at DeMar DeRozan, calling him DeMar Depression and shit. And I kind of felt bad for DeMar.
That's kind of, y'all low key, that's kind of
funny. So he's going through some stuff, Lo. That's kind of funny. I'm going to kick it to you, man. It's weird to see an NBA player open up about it. What do you think?
No, I mean, it's just a reminder that even though they are taller than the average man, they're stronger, faster, more athletic than the average man, they're still regular people that deal with everyday problems. And money, people believe that money will solve a lot of problems. But if you have any type of mental anxiety or any type of mental depression, like those are things that are just going to exist in your life, regardless of what type of wealth or financial gains that you've been able to accomplish throughout your career. Mm-hmm. So, and what's even crazy, DeMar DeRozan just signed the largest, the largest contract of his career. So it obviously clearly shows how you know financial gains will not erase your problems. So I'm happy that he did decide to open up about it, because he openly admitted that he's getting at a stage of his career and his life where him opening up more so about it will potentially help other people that may look up to him, especially younger audiences. And I think that's definitely something that I applaud DeMar DeRozan for, because he's a player that's starting to really show his face in the league, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I'm going to tell everyone off rip. I have money, right? And before I had money, I was $40,000 in debt in college, and I didn't know how I was going to pay that off, and interest is going to pile up. really all money does is relieve you of the stress of not having to deal with not having money. Having a surplus of money isn't really anything. You could buy as much clothing, whatever, as you want. And I think that's the point you get to, you know. I mean, I have money, but now I don't have DeMar DeRozan money. DeMar DeRozan's getting to a point, he doesn't even know what to do with all the money, right? And so he got to that point. A lot of people believe. Anyway, without getting into all that, I respect what he did. Definitely there's people that watch the NBA that are dealing with this, that are going to see this, and it's going to allow those people to be able to cope with it better, because it's kind of challenging to talk about this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't ever have to deal with it, but I can only imagine what that convo would look like if I talked to my parents or my friends about that. A lot of people would be like, why? You have all of this and that and this. It's not necessarily about what you have. It's just it's a thing that people have to deal with. And, you know, a lot of people like to say, and Dave Chappelle said this in one of his stand-ups, though. Anytime he was sad, remember when he left to Africa and he just kind of dipped out on that, what was it, $30, $40 million Comedy Central contract? A lot of people were telling him to keep his chin up. And he did a whole bit about how keeping your chin up doesn't really do anything, and just kind of let the person deal with his own issues without trying to intrude and find solutions. Hear them out, help them out if there's someone in your life that's dealing with something like this. But shout out to DeMar. I guess people are, like us, are having this discussion now, because I think he was the first player in the NBA to open up about being depressed while active.
Which is why I really applaud him, because if we just go back through NBA history, especially during the 70s and 80s, a lot of people were dealing with their problems through other outlets that weren't productive to their careers.
Do you mean cocaine?
I mean cocaine. I mean, but you can go further than that as well. I mean, cocaine, prostitutes, alcohol, yeah. Like, there's a whole bunch of other outlets that people utilize, and it ends up being the detriment to their careers. A lot of players' lives and their careers were lost because they were struggling with problems outside of basketball that would consume their life. And because it would consume their life, it would also alter the type of person and player that they became. So when it comes to just the growth of an individual player, I mean, and as a person, I applaud DeMar DeRozan for highlighting whatever problems he was suffering from throughout his life. And, you know,
you think he had that combo with Kyle Lowry? Do you think they talked about that?
I mean, I don't necessarily know. I mean, I would assume that at some point of his life, especially probably recently, since, you know, they've kind of understood that Kyle Lowry is going to be there for the long term, that him and Kyle Lowry had a conversation about it, and especially since he opened up publicly about it, and I'm pretty sure him and a few people, not just Kyle Lowry, but a few people, he probably opened up more about that part of his life as well, which is another great thing, because something like depression is not something that you can tackle alone by yourself. And I think that's probably a big thing that he even referred to in some of the interviews that I listened to. I'm not going to front. I just watched one interview. But he was basically just talking about how
Lo had all the intel, man.
he was talking about how, like, when he first got in the league, like, he just wouldn't say anything to people. And now he's definitely opened up, which, again, is something that I applaud him for, because that's not something that you should try to take on yourself, especially when you're around people that you feel comfortable with, that allows you to feel as some form of ease with your life.
Yeah, you know? Man. So shout out to DeMar. I mean, showing Toronto some love. They got a win the other day. And I'm going to be courtside in their game tomorrow, which should be fun.
So you dating somebody on the team?
Why do you think... What?
Normally females would get around a little courtside, a little closer to the... No, that's right. I take that back, because they normally have, like, the side chick section in the arena. That's what they have.
Why would you think side chick before celebrity? Why would you think that, Lo?
Oh, because you're not a big enough celebrity for someone to get used to.
Nah, but like, for example, let's say an actor wants to show up to a game. He get a link and he get a courtside ticket. Why is that? Anyway,
because
that
you're not weird. Yeah, because you're not big enough. You're not a big enough celebrity to get courtside tickets.
But think like a low tier people in Toronto that play basketball will probably know me, like 20% of them type celebrity.
But I don't think any of those people will be in well enough connection to give you a courtside ticket. I would more so view you as someone who's like a groupie or a side chick.
Yeah, who got this guy is tickets. Yo, the amount of disrespect I'm handling today is crazy.
I'm just
bro.
Saying that doesn't you're not. I mean, come on, you low key just trying to put yourself in the conversation of like, of like Nicholson and Chris Rock and shit like that. Like that's what you basically did.
They wouldn't turn the camera to me and be like, "That's Chris Rock and that's Agent Zero." They wouldn't do that. But
that's
shit.
The reason why you're the side chick. That's what I'm saying.
Whatever, I just wanted that. It was such a side piece.
You're
side
the group. Point. Yeah, you're a side piece. Yeah, exactly. Okay, you're a side piece. I'm happy you know that.
So yo, I won't be going to that game. Like, I'm not even going to lie to you.
Who they playing?
I have no idea.
If it's a trash team, then you're right. Someone probably didn't know you did. Throw you a bone real quick.
Yo,
if
it's a side, why can't you just show team. It's the Hornets?
If it's the Cavs, that's a trash team. If it's the Cavs, you're not getting no courtside tickets to the Cavs. Unless you're someone side piece for real.
I'm gonna need you to start respecting me, man. I'm gonna need you to start respecting me.
Is it the Bulls? It's the Bulls?
I just said it's the Hornets, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just throwing a name out there or something like that. Okay.
No.
Moving on, though. We got to move on.
Yeah, that wasn't the topic. No. I was just bringing that up before you jumped on me.
You bugging. Yo, because I do want to talk to you about this. This Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder thing is going a little too much going on right now. So, Jimmy Butler, despite the fact that he's out, and he's probably going to be out for the rest of the regular season at least, He out here just handing people whatever he can. Like, he just giving people the business. He's serving people. First, he served Lou Will with a massive challenge. Like, yo, if you really want to get this All-Star selection, bro, play me one-on-one next year. We really going to see who about it. So then that happened, which low-key, I don't think I said this enough. If Jimmy Butler wasn't going to play, just let Lou Will play. Because Lou Will, and now it's starting to dawn on me that he may not ever be an All-Star. And this year definitely should have been his year. Then after that, him and Jay Crowder got into some beef. Like they got a little physical on Twitter real quick. You know, you saw this?
Yeah, I saw it. Lo, come on, man. I'm always first to news on Twitter. You should know that.
Stop, cut it out. So, first of all, Jeff Teague just checked Ricky Rubio. I don't know what that was. That was
massive. By the way, could we pause? I enjoyed that so much. Not like injuring folks, but can we just like check people every once in a while? It was so satisfying to see him fly across the floor. Anyway, keep going.
I agree. I think physicality, when it's in control, and that's the problem, that it gets too out of control. But I would love the NBA to get a little bit more physical, because the way that certain things are progressing, especially James Harden drawing fouls, is just ridiculous. But this man, Jeff Teague, checks Ricky Rubio. They get a little chippy. Andrew Wiggins is just trash on defense. I know people are going to be like, oh, he had a 27.
You can talk about the Timberwolves without bashing Andrew Wiggins. Keep going.
I'm just saying he had a trash game. And then Jimmy Butler went on Twitter, started giving him the fingers about, like, yo, if anybody want that business yet again, we going to handle that business. And I think, didn't he single out Jay Crowder?
Yeah, he did.
And then Jay Crowder was like, bro, like, you know where I live. You got my number. If you really want to do this, we can do this. First of all, Jay Crowder, you have to stop being a fake tough guy. Because that act is getting really, really old.
You know what some people on Twitter called him? An enforcer.
An unenforcer?
They just call him an enforcer. Like, what is he enforcing? What am I missing here? He didn't really do anything when he gave him the option. He didn't lay hands on the guy. I guess technically it was a smart move. He would have got ejected. But you're not enforcing anything if you're just going to step up to someone chest to chest and stare him down and claim you don't want no smoke later on Twitter. But they have each other's home address, and he said, you got my number. So I don't know what that means. What's going to happen when he pulls up to his house? I mean, I'm assuming they got families. They're not going to start duking it out in front of their families, are they? Like, it was just words being traded back and forth. And the second I saw Jimmy Butler's tweets, he said, surprise, bitches, I'm back on Twitter. And then he went immediately at Jay Crowder. I was like, someone's going to come with the Twitter fingers reply. And it happened to be Jay Crowder. But anyway, I think any kind of conflict or controversy or drama is a form of entertainment, in my opinion. So the next time those two actually go up against one another, which, I mean, looks unlikely this year unless it's in the playoffs, it's going to be a lot more fun to watch. It's like a whole new storyline based on Jeff Teague bodying Ricky Rubio. But it was pretty entertaining, I'm not going to lie. Twitter kind of went wild last night.
Yeah, but that's not the real question that we want to know. And on a one-on-one basketball, obviously Jimmy Butler destroy Jay Crowder. But if they throw in hands, who's coming out victorious?
Jimmy Butler, right?
I don't know. I would probably say Jimmy Butler as well. I don't know. I think that's what we're trying to figure out. Like, if they were throwing hands, who would actually win?
Maybe, like, one of them is trained in jiu-jitsu or something we don't know about, right? And surprise, like, he does, like, an arm bar, and he's like, damn, right? Who knows, man? But assuming that they don't know any MMA, then I think Jimmy Butler has size on him too, right? So he has an advantage.
Yeah, it's not a crazy amount of size, though. I would hope, though, because Jay Crowder is such a, like, mediocre starting player in the NBA, still a starter, but mediocre, that he would have his hands in other things off the court. And I would hope that he would be fighting, like, off the court. Like, I hope he would just, like, whenever that moment comes. Like, I would hope that's what would happen.
No, that is horrible thinking, Lo. Just because somebody's not a top-tier player doesn't mean they're spending their time doing other things, like learning mixed martial arts. I mean, some of them might know it just for conditioning purposes or for, like, hand-eye coordination or for core strength. Or they might do a little bit, but none of them are going to be trained in that. Anyway, that's a... Lo, I have a question to ask you, man.
What's that?
Now, I seen you on Twitter a while ago, man, and I wanted to get you on the podcast
Like, see, you about to say something crazy.
No, I'm not. It's a real question.
Okay, no. As a side note, though, as we continue with this podcast, this man agent, when we got into the Skype call, he asked me a question. He said, yo, you got something to tell me? And so now I'm freaking out throughout the entire podcast because I'm like, do I have something to tell this man?
No, I won't forget about it, but, you know, it's all good, bro.
So you trying to set me up. So that's the reason why
I'm not setting you up, man.
All right, go ahead. Go, man. Just go.
This is a separate point, Lo. I saw you going in on the Detroit Pistons and Blake Griffin, man. So,
which they are trash.
I mean, he did perform horribly. I mean, they did well in the game that I was supposed to go to the Pistons game a few days ago.
Yeah, you're getting tickets to trash teams. You're not really. You're a side piece.
I mean, it was the Pistons versus the Bucks. I haven't seen both those teams play, so I was excited, but I missed the game. Pistons.
Oh yeah, that's right. You went to Detroit. Okay. I'm following you.
So wait. It's okay when it's the Bucks versus the Pistons, but it was gonna be a trash game if it was the Raptors versus the Pistons.
Yeah, because the Raptors are a great team, and the Pistons are out of the playoffs. As a side note, I'm really starting to. Because I'm trying to jump on this Bucks bandwagon, and, like, their half-court offense is just so trash. Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. it's terrible. Like, there was moments, I can't remember which game I was watching, but there's moments when they just went scoreless. And it's like, there's no way you can have Giannis on your roster and you go scoreless, like, for an extended period of time. But that's beside the point. So what were you saying, though?
I think that's a lack of coaching, bro. It has to be, because the Raptors had that same issue last year. And all it took was a coaching adjustment and a different type of play style. And that's, Lo, whenever an offense is so focused on running through one specific player, it starts to stagnate when he's not on the floor and they have to learn to adjust because they're not used to getting reps without that star player on the floor. So just like OKC when they had Durant and Westbrook, or the Raptors last year with Kyle Lowry and DeRozan, when you're running through players all the time, it causes issues. So, I mean, just the way the NBA is going, just run it the way Golden State is running it. Unless you have a new meta, a new type of play style you want to bring forward, which it doesn't seem they have. And keep in mind, Lo, like I mentioned, Jason Kidd was fired in the middle of the season. So, I mean, it's difficult for an interim coach to just pick up and try and create this playoff team into something that can muster up a first round and potentially like a second round win. Like, it's not going to happen, right? And we mentioned that. It's a new coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, need a new training camp with everybody and everything. But I wanted to ask you about the Pistons, man. So Blake has had a decent sample size of games. And of those games, when I tell you he is shooting atrocious from the three-point line.
He's just shooting atrocious, period.
Yeah, he is.
Right now, like, outside of the game they're playing right now, which, as we're recording this, they're playing the Miami Heat and they're losing. I don't necessarily know if they're going to win that game. But as of right now, they are losing. And I'm not going to take the time to look at Blake Griffin's numbers, but I saw that he was putting up some good scoring numbers, but everything else wasn't that impressive.
You want me to give you the numbers? Because they might hurt to hear.
Go ahead.
All right. He went from getting 22 points per game, he dropped to 17.8.
I'm looking at his average. I'm talking about specifically that game. But yeah, go ahead.
He's shooting 39 from the floor since he's a Piston. 39%.
Jesus Christ.
And from three, he's shooting 25%. If that's not some of the most atrocious stats you've heard in a while from a guy that consistently shoots from that far out on the floor, I don't even know where to go. Like, honestly, it'd be really cool if he just started to take up stand-up comedy. I think he's a pretty funny guy. I don't know if you've seen a stand-up comedy, Lo. Blake Griffin's a pretty hilarious dude.
Well, I see that's where I'm not really willing to go that deep into it because I still think Blake Griffin is a solid player. Here's the problem. There's three problems.
No, you don't, Lo. Come on.
Yes, I think he's a solid. I don't think he's the same all-star, superstar.
What overall would you
that
give
many
him?
People. He dipping in the 70s now.
What? That's not solid. Come on, man.
How is that not solid? How is that like 77, 78?
I was thinking like 85, man.
85? That's right. You can build your team around an 85 if you really wanted to. Look.
No, you can't, but keep going.
Yeah, you can't. But 85 is a quality second option that from time to time can be the best player on the team, depending on the matchup, right? But Blake, here's three problems that's going on right now. One, like we said it before, when they got the trade and where we are right now, Stan Van Gundy and the way he runs his offense, he needs spacing. He's obviously still trying to operate around Drummond. And the fact that Blake Griffin is attempting 5 3-pointers a game while shooting 25% from behind the arc, that is a clear indication of, like I stated before, Blake Griffin cannot space the floor. I don't understand what people don't understand, that we are in 2018. Someone with a small sample size converting on, 34% from behind the arc. Just so y'all know, shooting 34% is still below league average. League average is around 35, almost 36 right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, 35 is like league average right now. Just so people know.
I mean, but when you take into account that usually bad shooters never shoot, I mean, the average, if there was, like if Shaq was shooting consistently throughout his career and...
Head ass. I'm not editing it out. No, I get what you're saying, but like, because I would give Blake Griffin some leeway, but he wasn't, like right now he's attempting 5 3-pointers on 25% shooting. That's crazy. But the fact that he's shooting under 40% from the field, and if we were just to remove, if we were just removing 3-point attempts and just looking at what he's shooting within the 3-point line, is 45, almost 46% from the field. The rest just counting 2-pointers. That's still not good enough for a power forward. And I think that's the point that people are failing to realize, that we're referring to a power forward that's shooting this poorly. Which thus brings me to my second point in power forwards. In today's NBA, unfortunately, they're not as valuable as they once were. You have to space the floor. You have to do all the dirty work defensively when it comes to switching. And Blake Griffin, those are two things that he just is not able to do. But three, and more importantly, I know y'all get caught up and stuck in the past because y'all still think Derrick Rose got a little something left in his legs.
You'll
see what I'm saying. And I know y'all still get caught up in all the old heads still talking about XYZ and what they used to do back in the day. It's 2018. Blake Griffin was nice around 2013, 2014. That was 4 years ago, people. With the injuries and the removal of Chris Paul in his career has significantly changed the type of player that Blake Griffin will be moving on in for the rest of his career. And because of that, that's the reason why I said, along with Agent, that the Pistons were going to be worse. And also as a side note, Stanley Johnson shooting under 30% from behind the arc. He's trash.
Low.
And then they lost Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris was practically doing the exact same thing that Blake Griffin is doing right now, but much better from the field. So I don't understand, like, why y'all... And, oh, yeah, these assist things where people, like, beating their meat, like, oh, Blake Griffin with 9 assists. Like, first of all, look at the turnovers. And two, is it really that impressive if Blake Griffin just stands at the elbow and he just holding the ball and he just waiting for cutters? Like, come on, like, chill out, man. It's not that impressive, bro. It's cool to have in your bag, but if you're not dominating in other areas, bro, chill out, bro. It's not that impressive.
I agree wholeheartedly. Now, Lo, you're going to have to fill me in a lot of stuff, bro. Now, if you guys missed the video, man, I uploaded a video.
Piss is trash. Let me chill.
Lo, I almost died, man. Like, I had to take some days off.
Are we talking about this?
No. I just wanted to say that to say, like...
Hey, wait, let me say this, though. When you thought you was about to die, Why didn't you think of me, bro? That's what you should have thought of.
Why would you say that, Lo?
You should have thought about me. You should have been like, man, I might not ever talk to Lo again. That's what should have happened, bro.
No, not even close. I was thinking about, nah. Anyway, I was saying that to say, Lo, that in the last 3 to 4 days, I mean, aside from like a few things here or there, I have been watching zero NBA, which is crazy because I went to the Pistons-Bucks game, but I would have bare time to watch all kinds of basketball games. So you got to catch me up and the podcast listeners up, Lo. What are the hot topics going on right now?
Hot topics going on. Really, really not much. People still trying to bounce back from what's going on in the league. I can't believe this is like the transition that you're going to. And I still feel like you're trying to...
Me?
I still feel like you're trying to set me up for something that I'm supposed to tell you.
Lo, I mean, you forgot. It's okay. I mean, you know, stuff happens, right?
I'm trying to figure out, because I know it's not your birthday, because your birthday's in April, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, don't worry about it, Lo.
I know when your birthday is. I'm trying to figure out, I don't know what to tell you.
Yo, don't think about it, man. It's all good, Lo. Just keep going, man. Just fill me in.
Yeah, you're trying to set me up, bro. I don't know why you're trying to set me up. But I'll say this, though. I don't know what you're trying to make me say, bro. Like, you're really stressing me out. However, shout out to the, Damian, shout out to the Portland Trailblazers.
Lo, you're tripping right now, my guy. Everyone is listening to this podcast thinking, why is he stuttering like that?
I think you're trying to set me up for something for real, and I can't figure out what it is. But before we even get to that, I do want to give massive props to the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard specifically, because Dame, over the last, I think, like 6-7 games, has been balling out of his mind. For those out there who don't know, and I understand, like, the 3-6 seed right now is tied. I get that point. But the Trailblazers are third in the Western Conference right now. They're third. They bounced up. Dame has been playing great over the last few games. Scoring outputs are just ridiculous. He's really going after it. Highly efficient as well. Clutch in the fourth. I think Damian Lillard is by far one of the more underlooked players in the NBA, as we always say. I get that. But even as of right now, as he's playing much better, people still are not talking about how dominant a player he is.
I'm trying to look in the stats because I didn't know he was balling like that. Yo, he shot 27 shots one game, 25 the next game, 25, 25, 26.
But look at the scoring output, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look at the scoring output.
I see it. I mean, yeah, I see it. He got the Kobe numbers going right now.
And I think I think they beat, like, legit teams, if I'm not mistaken, no?
Yeah, they lost to Utah, beat Golden State, beat Utah, beat Phoenix, beat Sacramento, beat Minnesota. They're on a streak, 5-streak.
Yeah. Wow. I see that. They actually only beat one good team, and that's Well, Utah's a solid team. They're on the up and up.
No, Golden State, Utah, and Minnesota. It's three.
What's up? It's Justin from the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. When I was in eighth grade, I switched from wearing glasses to contacts because I liked playing the game of basketball. And ever since then, I've had to deal with getting contacts, which takes way too long. You have to sit in the waiting room for a really long time. It always kind of smells weird in there. That all changed when I found simplecontacts.com. You show them a picture of your prescription. You pick the brand of contacts that you use. You put in your address and they're on their way. And so much cheaper than going to a doctor every single time you need contacts. Took me about 15 minutes right before I left for work, and we're going to save you $30 off your first order with them at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or use the enter code almighty at checkout. That's $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or enter the code almighty at checkout. Just remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only do a test that makes sure your contacts are going to give you 20/20 vision. They don't write completely new RXs or examine eye health.
Minnesota's trash, though. Oh, no,
Come on, bro. Minnesota's just got finished saying they were nice, like, a few podcasts ago.
But now they lost Jimmy Butler. I don't necessarily know. Which, I think Jimmy might have been playing. I'll tell you that, Jimmy might have been playing that.
Lo, I have to ask you something, because I've been watching some Timberwolves games, and you've been pinning a lot of it on my guy, Andrew Wiggins, right? And I don't really fuck with that, man. It hurts me that you got to do that every chance you get to take a shot at my guy.
I just tell the truth.
No, but there's a new thing that's going on. And I don't think it's new. I think it's been going on for a while, but I picked up on it. And then I saw some people tweeting about it, and I was like, they noticed it too. There is this, we'll call it a rumor for now, that Karl Anthony Towns passes out of shots that if he was a more aggressive player would usually end up taking. So he'll have a shot in the corner, and he'll opt to pass it out, and maybe to get a better shot. But what a lot of people are saying is maybe like LeBron earlier in his career, is he's afraid to take big shots, or that he's passing up opportunities for left.
But is that? But is that?
Right,
is that Karl Anthony Towns' job on that team? Is it his job?
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
I know what you're saying, because I don't really think Karl Anthony Towns doesn't really show up in like big moments in the clutch, which is definitely a problem. And defensively, he's not where people had expected him to be. But I don't.
No,
really
I'm just saying
see...
because I see Wiggins aggressive and willing to take shots, even if he ends up with 28% from the field. On some Kobe,
but that's
mentality.
His role. I don't know. Let's chill out on the Kobe mentality. He's a little bit. Yeah, he is more aggressive, but that's his role on that team, though. That's him
know,
and
man.
Jimmy Butler's role. I've never viewed Karl Anthony Towns as a player who's supposed to get it deep in the fourth quarter and is supposed to bring the team.
I just think he's slowly gaining a reputation as a passive player, which, I mean, could be
fine. I don't know how you'd be a passive player. You second in points on this team. I don't know how that's possible.
I mean, here's the thing is, like, he's Karl Anthony Towns. If he wanted, he could bring the ball every time down the floor, and they could run the ball through him,
What's the purpose of that?
I mean, at the end of the day, you just want him to be able to perform his best, and I think I definitely saw him pass out on shots that, like, a good three-point shooter like Cat, who's shooting a great percentage this year, if I'm not mistaken, is about 42%, you would expect him to pull up and take those. So, I mean, when you compare percentages a lot of the time, you tend to miss out on the context. And as I was watching the games, I noticed...
I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to go as far to say,
I think the reason his three-point percentage is so high is because he's very picky about when he decides to shoot those relative to other players on his team and in the league. So, I don't know. It was just something I picked up on.
Well,
I wanted to ask you.
When it comes to Towns and his inabilities, his three-point shot, I'm not really that concerned with. He doesn't even really attempt that many threes a game. He only attempts three per game, and that's not, like, a lot. So, I'm not that concerned about Karl Anthony Towns. In those regards, in my opinion, it's more so his defensive ability and his lateral movement. That's the thing that really hurts him, despite the fact that he should be a fairly lateral player because he's not like a heavy or big. So that's something that I'm more so concerned about more than anything else. But I don't know. In my opinion, I think he's fine. I think that's not really his... It shouldn't really be his role. And even as a three-point...
But even as a three-point shooter,
I never really viewed Towns as like a high volume.
I'm not saying just on threes, by the way. I'm saying overall. But
I don't know. I have to watch the game to see what you're saying. I just have to watch it.
Yeah, it was neat because I thought about it and I was like, no, it's probably just a couple games. And then I saw a couple people on Twitter like, maybe if Cat shot more times, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is a thing now. All right. But yeah, so we'll see. The Timberwolves really got to step up without Jimmy Butler now. And if they are going to do that, they're definitely going to need Cat to start being more aggressive. And of course, Wiggins to start making more of his shots and playing more defense. So,
you know what we need to talk about, though, real quick? The Cavaliers being trash again. And J.R. Smith.
We got to do this every week, Lo?
J.R. Smith throwing.
Oh, we definitely got to talk about J.R.
Yeah. J.R.'s bugging. All right, so the only reason I want to talk about the Cavs. And we also got to talk about Russell Westbrook being trash as well. I want to talk about Soup first.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't even know what really happened. I just saw on Twitter people was going ham that this man was he got frustrated about something and threw a bowl of soup apparently at his assistant coach. Now, I don't necessarily know what was said in that conversation for him to be like, I'm throwing soup at you. But if I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised if someone brought up the idea of J.R. Smith coming back off the bench because he's not playing well at all. Like, I honestly think that's what happened. And for people out there who don't know, he is going to suffer from, I think a suspension. I think he's going to be out, and I think he's out tonight against the Nuggets.
No. He was already out versus the 76ers. He's back now.
He's playing the Nuggets tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think he's, I might be, okay, I don't necessarily.
No, I definitely saw a clip of him in the game, so yeah.
Okay. So, he should have got suspended. But someone...
He did get suspended for a game, but that was a 76ers game. The Cavs lost that one.
Okay.
Lo, I was dead. I was almost dead, and I know about that. Lo, come on.
Whatever. But yo, if someone, I hope someone say, yo, JR, you need to come off the bench. Because JR has not been playing well this season at all. Like, defensively, he's not the same player. I know people are, like, on Twitter, like, the reason why J.R. Smith's field goal percentage is so low is because he's attempting so many threes. And it's like, I somewhat get it, but that's all J.R. Smith does now. He just stands in the corner and attempts to knock down threes. Rodney Hood has come on his team and done exactly what he's done with nearly the same amount of three-point attempts, coming off the bench while playing significantly better on both ends of the floor. So why not just start Rodney Hood?
Damn, you can hop on the Rodney Hood hype train finally, Lo. I see you.
Bro, stop. We were, but me and you were talking about Rodney Hood back when y'all had Terrence Ross. And y'all said T. Ross on the team. So
oh, yeah, it's and not I like, made that trade for Rodney Hood for Ross and a pick.
And I clearly said Rodney Hood is much more valuable than that. So and so, so honestly, I'm aware.
I just wanted Rodney Hood on the
Exactly, you just wanted Rodney Hood, exactly. I'm aware of who Rodney Hood is, and I've been aware for quite some time now. Because, you know, I watch basketball. But anyway, this is all I'm saying.
Low. I heard somebody hit you in your DMs between this and the last podcast.
Is that what you wanted to say?
No, that wasn't it. That definitely wasn't it.
Because I was waiting at the end of the podcast.
Now, you guys know, for whatever reason, Lo likes to bring up how everybody hits him in his DMs all the time.
Okay, let me tell you, this is my master plan. For the people who are hitting me up in my DMs, I see them. What I'm doing is screenshotting them, and I'm going to make a collage out of them and put them on my Twitter banner. That's what I'm going to fucking do. Just so you know that people legitimately hit me up telling me that you know nothing about basketball.
So, because Lo has never been hitting his DMs talking about, I don't know nothing about basketball. Oh, it's
definitely not never.
I hit him up last week, and I said, Lo, yo, that guy agent is wildin', bro. He knows nothing about basketball. And Lo didn't respond. I had to double text him. I said, yo, that's crazy. And I basically gave Lo what he wanted so that when he's talking about how people hit him in his DMs in the podcast, he finally has substance. Is that somebody finally hitting him up? No, so
yo, trust me when I say you not the first person to
hit Lo, you are welcome, Lo. I finally...
Is that what you wanted to tell me?
No, that wasn't it. But I just thought it was hilarious.
We got to stop right now. You got to tell me whatever you think I'm supposed to tell you or something.
No, Lo, if you don't remember, it's fine, man. But it's
not right fine. Now. It's not fine. I need to know right now, bro.
No, we got to move on to the rest of the podcast.
You're fucking killing me right now. Yo, shout out to all the people who hit me up in my DMs who tell me that Agent doesn't know anything about basketball. Because
Lo, you know what's crazy?
No, because you know what is going to happen at the end of this podcast? Because we've been gone for a whole week. People been asking me, when are you going to give your top 10 or your top 5 list? And you say you're going
to
do your homework.
We'll dedicate a podcast to that.
We don't have to dedicate a whole podcast to that. That's quick work. That's light work. You can just run off a top 5, top 10.
No, because you need to justify your choices, right?
You don't have to justify them that much, Agent.
I mean, I would want to justify my
choices. It may be like one or two people you might have to justify, but for the most part, a lot of them will make sense.
So, Lo, I watched your video about Charles Barkley, man, and it engaged my interest, man. I was like, oh, I didn't know all of this about Charles Barkley. All I knew was when he was on TNT, he always got laughed at for never getting a ring, which is sad because it seemed he was a very good player. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to do this for you, Lo. And I'm going to do it for you because I care about you and I care about the podcast, man. I'm going to go out of my way to watch a bunch of videos and inform myself about NBA history, even though, in reality, I have absolutely no interest in learning about anything that happened before Kobe was drafted. So, I'll start with the 60s. Fuck the 50s, all right? I don't want to know.
You going to start with the 60s? Well, bro, just start with the 90s. Just start with the 90s. All right. You don't have to go that far back. Just start right. with the 90s.
What happened in the 50s? George Mikan did a dunk one time? Is that what happened?
Mikan, Jerry Lucas, Bob Cousy, a little bit of Bill
Lo
Russell.
Lo has a list in front 50s. Of him as we speak. I'm looking at
it. No, it's not. I'm not. I don't have a list. I'm trying to figure who else is in the 50s. That's about it.
Was Bob Cousy in the 50s?
Yeah, I literally just sat there and said,
Oh, okay. Sorry. I wanted to feel like a smart NBA head for a while. All right.
I mean, it's cool you don't know that much about basketball.
Don't say that. I know a lot about basketball. I just don't know a lot about NBA history. See, I know where to
draw the line. No, you know a lot about the stuff that's happened over the last, like, 5 years. I'll take it back 10 years.
The last 10 years. But, yeah, 10 years is fair. Yeah. That's kind of when I got really, really interested in basketball. But if we wanted to do, like, an F1 trivia or tennis or golf, I'll beat you in those.
Cause I'm black. What are you talking about?
Lo, what you mean, bro? Black people play different F1. Sports too.
F1. Cut it out. F1.
Only
F1 I know is FS1, and that's Fox Sport News Network. That's only FS1. Oh, that was very F1 cringy. I know.
You should never know about that. Nothing really happens on Fox Sports, man.
I'm not.
You watch
lie,
Undefeated?
Bro. I watch who?
Undisputed.
I'll be catching the hardest of AIDS when I watch them, bro. They just don't know what they be talking about.
No, I think they do, but
no, they don't, unfortunately.
I think they go out of their way to have to make statements that are like mind-blowing just to get ratings. But I think they're smart people. I mean, they have a show cool. That's been successful. I mean,
being successful in the lack of knowledge of what you're referring to are two different things.
Would you say you have more knowledge than those guys?
The only two people on Fox Network that I would say have more knowledge is Skip and Chris Broussard. Those are the only two.
That have more knowledge than you?
Yes. About basketball specifically. We're not talking about.
So you don't think so? Shannon. I mean, he's a football player, but Shannon
reads off of a script that they give him.
He does have papers, bro.
He has papers that they write the stats for him and swing a certain narrative, which is something that's really, really annoying when I watch that show.
No, but every once in a while I notice on that show that they mention something in a perspective I've never really thought of it before, and it's usually Shannon doing it. I can't imagine somebody just handing him that script every single time. He seems like a passionate guy that wouldn't want someone to speak his mind for him.
At least okay, I'll say this. He'll have a way that he thinks, right? And he'll have his narrative that he wants to push. But what he'll do is he'll go tell the stat team or whatever, because what's his name? Skip Bayless actually prides himself on getting his own numbers and just knowing and doing his own research. But what Shannon will do is he'll tell his statisticians to go out of their way to look for numbers that favor his argument. So if you want to, and I'm telling you, I'm not 100% sure this is true, but I feel like this is what happens. If he wants to know about, like, LeBron being clutch, he'll go tell his statisticians to go out there, find numbers that provide enough evidence so I can go off on a minute or two rant about how LeBron is clutch and bring up hardcore evidence about what happened. That's what he'll do. And you can clearly tell he's looking off of a paper. It's like, bro, like, we clearly see what you're doing. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd, they're terrible.
Oh, no, I don't watch those guys at all. I watch Undisputed sometimes. I definitely don't watch that guy. He has LeBron so deep in his throat, it's crazy, right?
It's
I can't watch that at all.
It's ridiculous, bro.
Like, I love Kobe, but, like, you gotta admit, like, there's certain things you can't run out and say, like, you know, you got to draw a boundary. They don't have boundaries. They just say anything, regardless of how crazy it sounds. But anyway, man, it was so interesting, Lo. I just want to see where you put yourself on the list of knowledgeable NBA players. I'm going to get up there, though, and I'm going to say, Lo, your Charles Barkley video inspired me to help make that decision. Just when I'm kicking it, I'm just going to watch some documentaries and shit. Is there anything you recommend for me and the people?
I feel like you're still setting me up for something. Like,
I'm not setting you up. I'm just asking genuinely.
I feel like you're setting me up, but no. What I've actually decided to do is spend more time informing people on my channel, make videos dedicated to certain players that people really don't talk about that much, or teams or events, because I don't really know too many NBA videos or NBA YouTube channels that do that. But shout out to Andy Hoops, because he is one of the very few people in the community that does do that. But he spends a short time talking about certain players, and he kind of just rushes through things without really explaining it. So, you know. But he does.
So
he does
would you say, Lo, that you didn't know shit about NBA history before you started to make YouTube videos?
Oh, no.
Because you'd have to research. I'm assuming that's how you learn a lot of your stuff.
I think my understanding of basketball just as a whole increased after me doing YouTube videos. And there's certain videos that I definitely regret making because they're like historically wrong in a sense.
Because God damn.
They are. I mean, like, I made a video like explaining how much help Michael Jordan had. And then I go back and I'm like, oh no, Michael Jordan actually didn't have that much help at all. Like,
did you delete it?
No, I didn't delete it. It's still up there. It's still up.
All right. I'm going to put that on my Twitter for the people that want to see Lo.
You're so stupid. You're so retarded. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Anyway, yeah, I remember one time I did like a what if video about Derrick Rose.
And I, no. It was your what if video you did about
Vince Carter.
I flamed you. Yo, I wish y'all was in that Skype call. This man, I call up immediately after I watched the video. And I was like, agent, that video is so wrong. It makes absolutely no sense. You got views, but you didn't get that many views as much you thought you was going to get. And I was like, bro, this man agent said that. He didn't even mention that Chris Bosh is on the team with Vince Carter and Jalen Rose.
You know what's crazy? In my memory, I don't remember them being on the same team ever. So I just kind of rolled with it. I'm like, I know the Raptors. I don't need to research this part.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I researched a lot of it. But that part, I was like, no, they were never on the same team. Huh? Would we have Vince Carter and also draft Chris Bosh? So, like, anyway, yeah, that was definitely – I almost wanted to delete – I think I ended up deleting that, actually.
You don't tell me that because I need to download that video.
I mean, I think I have it on private. I could give it to you if you want to put it up on your banner.
Say something, yeah. And also, you missed a very pivotal... I guess you didn't really have to talk about it too much because you was referring to the idea if he never was traded. But Vince Carter during that time period, real sus, bro. Shenanigans. I keep saying this, I feel like, every single podcast.
Yeah, you do.
But Vince Carter, bro, he was real sus around at that time, bro. A lot of shenanigans he was committing, bro.
You've mentioned time and time again, man. Anyway, that was besides the point. We were talking, to bring it back to the point, about J.R. Smith throwing soup at an assistant coach.
How did we get that far off from the fucking topic?
I don't remember. I think it has something to do with NBA history. I talked about Charles Barkley, and then we kind of went even further. But shout out to J.R., he's back. I wouldn't be surprised if Rodney Hood began to start, but I think it would mess with team chemistry because, you know, J.R. is not going to want to sit bench too.
If you're really committed to this idea of stroking J.R. Smith's ego, just because he's going to help you,
I don't think it's stroking J.R. Smith's ego. I think it's just doing what LeBron wants.
You think LeBron wants? I don't think LeBron is that committed.
They got Rodney Hood for the team. I think they got him for the future, right? They didn't get him for LeBron just so LeBron could be happy. Those are a couple players that can operate now and do well.
But I don't think LeBron is so biased and so outrageous that he's going to tell himself like, nah, I don't give a fuck what Rodney Hood doing. We keeping J.R. Smith in the starting lineup. Like, I don't think he's what that crazy.
Like, imagine you're on the team and your name is LeBron. You've been playing with J.R. Smith for a while now. And then a new player comes in and I don't know. I mean, J.R. Smith has always been.
He must have some nudes of LeBron or something. He must got like some incriminating evidence.
He said some nudes? What the
fuck? Like, he must, bro? I'm just saying, like, he gotta have something on LeBron.
Why would you say that, man?
He has to have some type of dirt that could ruin LeBron's career for LeBron not to be like, put J.R. Smith on the bench.
He have a photo of his real hairline. How about that? Why'd you have to go to nudes, man? Why would you skip to that?
Because his hairline, I take that back, yo. If he has, what if J.R. Smith, this is dead serious. I'm being dead serious. Because I don't know if y'all know what hair implants look like. When you get hair implants or some type of sewing as a male, when men are getting bald, they have to actually cut. They have to actually, like, shave your head off where they're putting the implant at, right? And you have to shave it. What if J.R. Smith has a picture of LeBron damn near bald? And he's like, yo, if you don't convince Ty Lue to keep me in a starting lineup, I'm posting it on Instagram.
Bruh. That is some ultimate blackmail that could fuck with LeBron's image, which is weird. I met Ben Wallace a few days ago.
Bro, I don't care, bro. Like, I don't care that you're name dropping.
Oh, by the way, no, that's beside. I don't want to say that on the podcast. But oh, what no, I did want to say is he cut his fro, which is weird. And we know Kobe cut his fro at a certain point, just went bald. I mean, LeBron never went bald. That could be a reality, you know? Is this one timeline. Very unrealistic, because LeBron would definitely destroy his career when given the chance if he held something like that over him. But I think it's like a... they're just a funny alternative life. Alternative timeline, let me say. But, you know, you ever watch Flash? They have different timelines going on at the same time. I'm thinking like that.
He just needs to cut his hair. And J.R. Smith, you need to come off the bench. Rodney Hood is a better player than you at this point in your career. No shame in that. You're at the end of your career, about to retire. It's not that big of a deal, bro. Like, no one's not going to remember in your 12th year in the NBA that you were still a starter. Like, no one doesn't care that much about your career, bro. Just come off the bench. And also, the Cavs, even though they added more pieces, and even though, not saying that you, agent, but there are definitely people who are on the Cavs' nuts.
Oh, they got all these new players. They're all young, and they're new, fresh faces, and you see the energy that they're giving?
Bro, they losing. They went back to their losing ways. Shout out to George Hill, because he can't hit a shot at all. Shout out to Larry Nance, because he gives up and down effort on the defensive end. He's always a really solid rebounder, but not enough effort on the defensive side. And every now and then, J.R. Smith, like I said, he'll have a sighting, but it's very, very, it's in small spurts. Like, it's in small spurts, bro. So, like, I don't understand why y'all thought that them adding a whole bunch of role players made them contenders, but it doesn't. Like, get over yourselves, yo.
Wow, you're coming at people's throats, huh? Yeah, I did say everything you just said right there. And I think it will provide more energy. I mean, they're no longer the oldest team in the NBA. I mean, they just came back from a JR suspension. They're almost about to lose heading into the fourth quarter against the Nuggets today.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think George Hill's shooting splits are since he's been with the Cavs? Field goal percentage.
He's shooting 42%, right?
So 42% from the field goal, you're too high.
Is that right?
Too high. No, too high.
It's not under 40, is it?
Say something else. What are you going to say, bro? I'm going to tell you.
I'll say 41.
No, lower than that.
40?
Lower than that.
It's not lower than 40, so stop lying.
Can you please keep going? We got a whole podcast, bro.
Yo, it's not lower than 40, so I'm not going to go lower than that.
Okay, it's 37% from the field. What is he shooting? No! Yes, it is. What is he shooting from behind the arc?
That's horrible. I'm really just making fun of Blake Griffin. That's on a new. I mean, how many games is it, though? Because Blake Griffin had a 13 game sample.
He's at 7 games right now, George Hill.
Oh, I mean, yeah, give him some time.
Oh, my God. Okay, from behind the arc, what is he shooting?
From behind the arc, he's shooting like 45%.
Huh? How many? What?
I'm playing.
I was about to say, what? What
is he shooting? Your reaction was A1, my guy.
What is he shooting? Hell, no, you're not shooting 45%.
While you were doing this whole trivia, I actually booted up the stats, so I officially have the answer. Oh my God.
27! And I'm rounding up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, George Hill, bro. It ain't 2012.
Nah, because he's going to turn it around, because I was talking on the podcast about how it would be a perfect fit and everything, so he's going to turn it around.
I mean, just because you said it was a perfect fit, that don't mean that it's going to be turned around.
No, that's exactly what it means, man. I'm waiting for him to turn it around.
You were still waiting on Bruno Caboclo to show some promise over the last 3 years.
But that was hope more so than anticipation, right?
You was anticipating that shit. You was like you're a Hawks fan. Bruno is gonna have that game.
Nah,
that's exactly
but you're
what you
a
thought.
Hawks fan. You had a hope Cut that they would win the championship.
I never
when they were
hoped
winning,
that the Hawks would win the championship.
Nah, you had hope. Don't lie.
Cut it out. Also, OKC playing trash. What's up with OKC, bro? You ain't been watching games though.
No, because I've almost died. So,
bro, that was like 2 days ago. Stop acting like you that excused you from not watching basketball for the last week.
I had to take a break on life. By the way, after that,
damn, you should have hit me up, bro. We should have talked about your depressions. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not depressed. I'm actually happier than ever. Literally, I probably should have been dead, but I'm. All
right, but anyway, nobody doesn't care about that. Look, this man. I'm just playing, yo. But anyway, on some real shit though. Russell Westbrook.
You explain the issue, because I couldn't tell you because I haven't been watching the
game. Okay.
I have seen some exciting plays, like some clips on Twitter, but I haven't watched a game in the last week.
Okay, they are on a three-game winning streak. However, the three teams that they played are Orlando, Dallas, and Phoenix. So those are not like
top-tier teams?
Yeah, I'm about to say they're not really that impressive of a winning streak that they have going on right now. However, in the month of February, and up until now, I guess, since they played we can just look at the month of February to keep it simple. So in the month of February, Russell Westbrook, 22 points, 11, almost 12 assists, 10 rebounds, so triple-double, right? However,
should we give him the MVP again, Lo?
And that's another question I was going to ask, guys, actually. However, nearly 6 turnovers.
Jeez.
Shot 41% from the field, and I'm rounding up. Now, again, Agent, we're going to have this again. What was his field goal percentage? I mean, his 3-point percentage. How well
you
of a 3-point?
You're going to make me check it out, Lo. Come
no,
on,
you,
man.
You there's, no way, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to check this out anyway. I know you don't understand how to
You don't think I know how to use advanced stats, Lo?
Maneuver around basketball reference. What was his 3-point percentage in the month of February? Yo, are you going to answer the question?
No, I'm trying to find out the
just
answer.
Guess, just guess. Just guess. Just guess. Just guess. Just guess.
So what was the question?
Just guess.
I'm asking for the question.
The 3-point percentage in the month of February.
25. No, 22.
15.6%.
Oh! Yo, 15?
15.6% in the month of February.
God. Yo, he's shooting 28% on the season,
On the season from behind the arc.
And they're mocking Paul George, who's shooting 42% on the season and from three?
Exactly.
Come on, man.
Also, as another side note, Carmelo Anthony. In the month of February, his scoring output dipped to 13 points per game, despite the fact... Despite the fact that he's attempting nearly 15 shots a game.
He's attempting almost as much as Paul George, but getting like half the statistical output in terms of points.
I don't think you just understood what I said, Agent. February, this man attempted nearly 15 shots, however, scored 13 points. That man shot 36% from the field.
Oh.
He got to the free throw line less than one time a game. Carmelo is doing nothing but jacking up shots and barely making them.
We got to ask the question, Lo. Is this the biggest fall off of a star we've seen this year?
Well, let's get something very, very clear. The problem that many people have, especially with Carmelo Anthony, is that for whatever reason, people just believe if you're a star in the NBA or a quote-unquote star, because in my opinion, Carmelo hasn't been a star over the last 3 or 4 years now. Just because you're scoring points, that does not make you one of the top-tier players in the NBA. You are just attempting more shots than everyone else. That's all that means. Carmelo Anthony, this has been the player he has been. Because if you're that great of a player, regardless of what team you go on, you should be able to find your way on a roster while still being efficient. Great example is Paul
Russell
George.
I think Westbrook is like an outlier, though.
No, Paul George. Paul George is basically putting up the exact same points he was putting up last year. His efficiency has gone up. He's still an elite defender while being on a team with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. If you're Carmelo Anthony and you're attempting 15 shots a game, and this is now for the entire season, however, you're only scoring 16 to 17 points, that's just you being inefficient. It has nothing to do with anyone else. That is you not being an efficient scorer. And that is just proof right there that he hasn't been the same player in quite a while. And I understand he's 33 years old right now, but the shot attempts and the misses that he's having they're killing that team. But
do you remember?
But go ahead. Because the bigger question is, should Russell Westbrook win MVP?
No, the bigger question is, why on human planet Earth did everyone think the Raptors were going to fall apart when Patrick Patterson left? First time I've seen his numbers. Dude is shooting 37% from the field. God damn, yo. That's the guy that was going to break the Raptors, man. He's barely... Anyway, I guess
as a side note, Patrick Patterson comes in the game and he attempts 3 shots.
And they're wide open and he breaks them, which is outstanding.
Patrick Patterson, you're trash. Why did... Yeah. They literally said
told themselves, yo, Patrick Patterson, he's going to be the difference maker. coming off the bench.
Oh,
Patrick Patterson, no. But
yo, Lo, who you think would win in a game in a series? Best of seven, Raptors or the Thunder?
I would say the Raptors.
Me too. No the, bias.
You know, whatever, that is. You know what's so crazy to me about Russell Westbrook, and yet this is about to turn into the Westbrook hate show. Russell Westbrook, for someone that talented, there's no way that he should be that inefficient. And for someone that I honestly don't believe, when focused and when attacking the basket, I don't think there's anyone in the league that could legitimately stay in front of him outside of possibly like Kawhi and Giannis. But I don't know of another point guard that can stand in front of Russell Westbrook. And for whatever reason, Russell Westbrook has been one of
the... No, you're right. You said point guard. Go ahead.
But the fact that Russell Westbrook is one of the least efficient players the league has seen since the early 2000s, it is amazing to me.
Which is weird. Remember when he played with Kevin Durant? I mean, I know they played an ISO heavy style, but like he used to just kill it with the pick and roll, pull up jumpers.
But he was inefficient then too. Russell Westbrook has never really been a vastly efficient player.
I think he's more reckless now. Back then, he was more calculated because he knew at the time Kevin Durant was the alpha on the team, and Westbrook was kind of like the sidekick. So it was a situation where he knew he couldn't just wild out and take ridiculous shots. Because Kevin Durant would be like, yo, if anyone's taking ridiculous shots, it's me. He doesn't have that guy anymore. And so maybe he just has like the green light to do whatever. I mean, we even seen him last year. I mean, remember that exciting game winner dunk he got? Where he had no business going for a dunk. They were up and he should have been fouled and went to the free throw line.
Yeah.
But he went for a contested dunk instead. Like, it'd be plays like that where you're like, yo, you should never attempt. But in that case, it worked out. But in many cases, I've seen him take and just shoot his team out the game with inefficient scoring. But we've seen Kobe do that too, plenty of times.
But the difference is that Kobe will play elite level defense on the other end, where Russell Westbrook isn't doing that. And that's the thing that really blows me away about Russell Westbrook, is that for practically his entire career, he's been surrounded with other players that are willing and able to play defense at an above average rate, sometimes even at an elite level. This year, Roberson and Paul George, and early in his career with Serge Ibaka. So I don't really understand why he can't play.
I mean, they had Cephalosha back then too.
Oh, and Cephalosha. I'm sorry, I forgot about him as well. But yeah, you're right, Cephalosha. But I'm confused to why he can't play defense. But defense at an elite level, and two, since he's not playing defense at an elite level, why is he just so reckless on the offensive end? I never understood that. With so much talent and potential, I never understood why Russell Westbrook plays so poorly from time to time.
Yeah. You'd think that, like, all the attention he gets from his shots he's taking, that Carmelo and even Paul George would shoot a little bit better. I mean, Paul George is shooting the exact percentage as Russell Westbrook, but he shoots a higher percentage of threes. So for him, I guess the level of difficulty on some of those shots is a lot more challenging. But anyway... Wow. I mean, I think the OKC is coming into their own. To start the season, they were a disaster. They're starting to get the handle of things, and with Jimmy Butler down, and Portland's not, I don't think, going to be a threat to these guys. Come playoff time, I'm sure Carmelo's going to step up, right? It's been a while since he's been in the playoffs, but I assume he will. This is going to be a whole new team. Should be fun. Hopefully they run up against like Houston or something. I'm sure Houston might go for like a 4-1, but...
I feel like this season is really important to a lot of players' careers, including Russell Westbrook's. And I don't think he has the ability to really, really play around with what's happening right now. Because if that team doesn't succeed or they don't see the type of playoff success that they are anticipating, Russell Westbrook might be on a team by himself for the rest of his career. And I don't want that to happen to him.
Lo, how long do you anticipate the Knicks are going to be a garbage organization, man?
They're not that bad. Porzingis is out.
Every year,
Porzingis is out. Porzingis is out.
No, but like every year we talk to Knicks fans and they promise
Waffle Man.
That I mean, he's one example. that the team is better this year. Not only have they drafted this talent, but they have this talent who was developed, and they have this talent, and they traded for this talent. And it's been so many years straight of just the team performing horribly. Part of it is, I think, just ownership. They keep getting into left and right with the scandals. I mean, they kicked Charles Oakley out the arena, and they show multiple times over the course of the last few years that they are one of the worst in terms of the ownership in the NBA.
I don't know. I can't go down this rabbit hole with you.
They are, though. They just are. So if you put them in the category.
I agree with that. But this year, they could have made the playoffs, but like Porzingis got hurt.
No, they wouldn't have made the playoffs if Porzingis was there. No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would have.
I disagree.
Because if you're telling me that the Miami Heat are going to be the eighth team.
I think the Heat are better than the Knicks with Porzingis.
I agree, but then they were also getting the, what's my man's name? Tim Hardaway back. So I don't know. Like, and they lost.
That's the difference maker? Come on.
I don't know. It's been almost some. No, it's not like Tim Hardaway's been playing trash since he's been back. If I'm not mistaken, let me double check.
You can make that same case if you do the without injuries thing.
Let me not say that.
I think the Nets would be a decent team without injuries, right? I mean, you could keep going.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they are. Jeremy Lin got off to a pretty good start until he got injured. Like, he was only a few games in.
He got injured his... I thought it was the first game.
I don't think it was. Let me check.
Oh, here you go, agent. Now, don't have me let people come in my DMs.
We got to check before you jumped in. Yeah, it was the first game.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. This man, agent was about to fabricate a whole season that this man had. Yeah, you were. He was about to.
I said a few games. I said, okay, one game, Lo. There we go.
Not even a game. It was like the first quarter.
In that game, 25 minutes, and he got 18 points, and he shot a decent percentage.
What's a decent percentage?
He took 12 attempts, and he has 18 points.
What was the percentage, agent?
The percentage is 42.
All right.
And this was coming off of injury-riddled season. I just think the Nets had a little bit more promise. But you can make that case for a lot of... If the NBA was injury-free...
Jeremy Lin isn't Porzingis.
If the league is injury-free, for example, would the Knicks make the playoffs this year? I don't think the answer is yes.
I don't think so either. But I think they'll definitely be closer.
What's that? That's worse. Who would want to be close but not make the playoffs? Then you get a garbage pick and you don't make the playoffs. This is the worst of both situations, man.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I just don't think, I don't think no one expected this year. I hope no one thought this year was going to be the year. I thought that this year should have been at bare minimum the year to figure out how good Porzingis could potentially be now that Melo is gone. And he definitely showed a lot of signs of development and growth. And I personally feel like giving him a few more years, he should be able to carry the mantle of the franchise player in New York. So I have no problem with Porzingis being that face. I know a lot of people are kind of skeptical of that, but I think Porzingis is completely fine. I think the rest of the organization, or at least the rest of the roster, is what they have to fill out at. But, I mean, they're going to have another, top 10, 15 pick this year, which I think will, again, be great for the team. They need a more well-rounded perimeter player. And last year, though, picking Frank Ntilikina over Dennis Smith Jr. may be the detriment of their roster, though, unfortunately.
Why didn't they? Maybe they thought they could trade for a point guard, so they figured why draft a point guard, especially where they were at.
Frank Ntilikina is a point guard. What are you talking about?
I mean, I get that, Lo, but they ended up trading him away anyway, so apparently, even though they picked him up.
Wait, what?
What?
They traded away Frank Ntilikina?
Am I tripping, Lo?
Yeah, you're tripping, agent. Why do I have so many people in my DMs tell me you know nothing about basketball? Yeah. And then you say something like this, and you're like, oh, yeah, they trading him away. What are you talking about?
I'm tripping, bro. I got him confused with the other guy who had a weird
name. What are you talking about? Yo, you're bugging.
Nah, but
no.
I
you're crazy. Let's go. Right, just chill out. Let me go on to the next topic. We'll just go to the next topic again because you don't know what you're talking about, man. It's sad. I'm gonna try my hardest to edit this out, even though I'm not going to. I'm gonna try my hardest to really kind of help you out here. All right. Yo, we're gonna wrap up the video. I mean, the podcast. Jesus Christ, we're gonna wrap up the podcast like this, bro. I need that top five list, bro. That's what I need.
Stop asking me for a top five list, my guy.
Or you need to tell me what I'm supposed to remind you about.
Nah, I can't do that, bro, because you forgot, man. See, it's been getting to me, you know.
I'll fly to Toronto and fight you if you don't tell me what I'm supposed to remind you about.
I just expected more from you. It's all. But it's
what whatever. What am I reminding you about?
I mean, it's all good, bro. You know, I'm not tripping.
I'm supposed to remind you. I'm supposed to congratulate you. I'm supposed to like. What am I doing here?
Don't worry about it, Lo, man. The time has already passed. I'm, you know, so
you agent, if you don't.
Hey, you know what? The time. By the way, it was Willie Hernandez Gomez. Guys, if the name is too long, I just start associating it with different names. All right. Sorry, Neil Aquino and Hernandez Gomez. All right, it was confusion there. But you get what
I'm saying. Oh, I'm supposed to congratulate you that the video that I was in on your channel got 1.2 million views?
No, that wasn't it. And also, you had nothing to do with that, so.
I had nothing to do with it, but I'm in your video, which is the most viewed video on your channel.
Did you edit it, or were you the star of the video, Lo, by
any chance? Yes, I was. I don't know why you don't think I was a star, but yes, I was.
You were not the star of any video, just to let you know.
Interesting. Yeah. I definitely was a star of that video me and Swante was in.
You weren't, even in that video.
you definitely, you was far from the star.
You was far, you the furthest. Hey, did you know Houston was on a 14-game win streak?
Not really concerned about it. Regular season team.
No, but it's a win streak, though. It's impressive.
Regular season
team. You don't want to see them go for the record?
I mean, it's not enough games left in the season, if I'm correct.
There definitely is, Lo. Lo, this what's the record then? What record are you talking about?
You're the one who brought up the record. How you gonna ask me?
Oh,
how you gonna ask me what the record is?
I'm saying you should have known it because it's the Lakers got the record. I thought you'd know something like that.
I'm asking right now, what is the record? How many games?
No, I know what the record is.
I'm asking right now, how many games?
You're telling me to give you the answer. Basically.
Okay, fine. I'm telling you to give me the answer. So tell me the answer. How many games are now win streak record?
Is 33? I remember, man.
Agent, you're killing me, bro.
It's 33.
You're typing it up, agent. We hear you typing.
I'm not typing it.
As a side,
I remember because a few years ago the Hawks were going for the record. They couldn't stop talking about the NBA win streak record.
The Hawks the Heat.
The Hawks.
When were the Hawks ever on a?
I remember it was like 16 games in, and then left and right. I think the LeBron also got pretty far, but I remember when the Hawks did it because it was memorable. Because the Hawks were finally filling up the arenas, like 15 win streak in.
No one was going to no Hawks game, regardless of how many.
No, I saw the arenas. They were full, which is kind of why I was memorable.
The arenas weren't full, bro. The arenas are never full.
I was watching the games, but the arenas were full, my guy.
They were never full.
Anyway, hopefully the Houston Rockets break the record. They got plenty of games. I mean, they got 14 wins already. What they need? They need like 14, 15 more games left.
That's what I'm saying. They need a lot of games left. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Nah, they need like 17, 18. Yeah, they're straight, bro. All they got to do is keep winning.
They would have to win for like this whole month and then still win a few more games in April.
Hey, I believe in them, man. Hey, yo, with D'Antoni, anything is possible.
I guess. I don't even know if they should shoot for it, especially this late into the season. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know if they should go into the postseason trying to shoot for that, because I think that ended up being a real detriment to the Warriors when they did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I fully comprehend.
And I definitely don't need nobody giving no excuses to James Harden to why he played poorly in the postseason again.
Nah, that's not gonna be an excuse. Did Golden State fans use that as an excuse?
Yeah.
I can't imagine they're like, but we did this in the regulars. That's a horrible excuse
And people over the past 2 years keep saying, well, James Harden has to carry so much offensively. And so I don't.
Well, he did, though. I mean, until this year,
No. If you're gonna compare him to some of the greatest shooting guards of all time, I don't need to hear nobody talk about what they carried offensively. I don't.
You're right. Kobe averaged 35. So
that's what I'm saying. And was the best defender on the team. So I don't need to hear that.
Yeah, when you put it like that, damn, it really explains why he got injured so many times in his career. Exactly.
I don't need to hear nothing about that.
He was really doing everything, man. He didn't give a fuck if it was a preseason, regular season, postseason. It could have been a Drew League game. He was still balled out.
Head ass.
Anyway, we just end the podcast on this note, Lo. You know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't done a highlight player.
Bro, I need you to give me a top five, bro.
Of what? Why are you so pretty? I really want to know
because we sound like we have these type of conversations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know your top five.
Top five what?
I want to know your top five of all time. I don't understand how you think you were going to go on a basketball podcast and not like be prepared to give someone your top five.
Here's the thing.
That's the craziest thing in the world. Like, what type of shenanigans is that?
What do you mean, Lo?
How are you not prepared to have a top five or at least be in have
it's
a
not
conversation?
About, it's not about being prepared. It's just there's not a conversation. How often you have that conversation? You see what I'm saying? And when you have a top five, you want to make sure.
Yet. As a side note, Boston is beating Houston, but okay, go keep going.
Yeah, hopefully they. I don't know. I was gonna say something so reckless.
Yeah,
oh my
was,
god, let me
was.
Chill.
You want to see something real reckless?
I just want to make sure when I inform, Lo, you inspired me. I said this podcast, man, and I'm gonna learn more about NBA history, even though it's irrelevant. There's no real point in going back outside of having these conversations for me. So I'm gonna do it anyway.
On the
and then
podcast,
I think,
having the conversation, I don't understand why you don't think that.
No, you just brought it up for the sake of we weren't having the conversation. It wasn't on a list for like we're definitely gonna talk
I
about top
that,
five
but
point
like,
guards.
At some point, we're going to have that conversation. No?
What's your infatuation with the all-time conversation?
Because if we have...
You fully said in last podcast, what's the point of comparing eras? Why do people even do that? Why do you compare eras so much?
Comparing eras and just determining who's your top five of all time, that's not...
But you would have to compare eras regardless of which way you put it.
You can just determine who was dominating during the era.
But this is all relative because after every single rule changes, the game changes. The same reason why LeBron's excuse for the conferences we talked about was irrelevant because the rules change all the time. So I can't compare somebody in this era to somebody before a three-point line even existed.
You're just beating around
the bush. I can have a top five favorite, but top five best is impossible.
You're beating around the bush. Who's the best player of all time?
I'm just being honest.
Who's the greatest player of all time, Agent?
Is Kobe.
Okay.
He's my favorite.
No. You just sat there and said Kobe is the greatest player of all time.
My second favorite. You want me to keep going? I can name you favorites. I can go on with favorites, man. But yeah. You know what? I'll have to pick a week where I'm not about to die and we'll get down and get
how about
to the nitty gritty,
man. How about this? Top five players in the NBA right now.
We had this conversation like a couple podcasts ago, though.
We did? Okay.
But, yeah, there's no point in going back and saying it again. But it's pretty obvious who the top five are.
So who's number one then, just real quick?
LeBron.
Two.
James Harden.
Three.
Actually, Kevin Durant will be two. James Harden will be three.
Okay. Four.
Steph.
And five.
Giannis or Westbrook? I'm going to go Westbrook.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you see, that is that simple because you can compare the same. They're the same. Like, you see what I'm saying, Lo? When you start to compare the '90s to the 2010s, there's so many different rule changes since. So how do you do that? How do you play in a league where you can't shove people no more without being called for an offensive foul? I mean, now James Harden is finessing the system to get plenty of free throws, but that's going to be patched. The devs are going to come in and patch that.
No, I don't think they are. But anyway,
in the 2020s. How you gonna compare what James Harden's doing now to the next great shooting guard? You know.
Wait, speaking of James Harden though, and before we wrap up this video, this podcast,
you didn't give me a highlight player.
This podcast, I keep saying that. I know I'm not, but
no, I mean it's okay. People can hit me in my DMs regardless.
Yo,
my DMs are closed, by the way. So if anyone hits me in my DMs, they really care, and they already follow them.
I'm about to say, my man James Harden snatched Wesley Johnson's soul out of his body.
Oh my God. How did we not talk about this?
I know. That's why we got to touch upon this. James Harden snatched Wesley Johnson's soul out of his body watched him on the ground lifeless, was like,
he did,
was like, damn, I'm that cold motherfucker. And then pulled up from three and still made it and turned around and shimmied all the way. I was like, oh my God, why did Wesley Johnson spend that long on the floor? One, two, why didn't someone come, like, if that ever happens, just double Harden and make him pass the ball to someone else, because Harden can't shoot the ball after that. And three, bro, Harden should have been fined. I'm just all I'm going to say. He should have been fined.
That was
so disrespectful.
Hands down going to be number one in the top 10 ankle breakers of the year. Very rarely do we find an ankle breaker that damn disrespectful. And usually it's coming from a player like Kyrie. Yo, Lo, when I tell you that animation was straight out of NBA 2K, that snatchback animation, and the tweets were going wild. People did like a Fortnite edit to
it. That shit was dead. Twitter was crazy that night.
Yeah, Twitter definitely.
It was crazy. It was people who don't even watch basketball was like, oh my God, did you see that? I was like, all right, we get it. But
Lo, before we end the podcast, we need more disrespect in the NBA. Like, do you remember when was it Pippen who dunked on Ewing, and then like walked over him?
Okay, and that's another thing me and a few friends of mine was having. One, I think all time that James Harden is obviously like top 10, probably top 5. But some people are like, oh my God, that's the most disrespectful thing I've seen. Like that Pippen dunk and Iverson stepping over Ty Lue, those are still more disrespectful than that James Harden thing.
And they never got a... Pippen might have got a tech, yeah, but Pippen, he didn't Pippen get ejected for that.
Yeah, no. But when you get to a point where you're like stepping over someone, that's way too... That's a whole nother level of disrespect.
It sure is. And I miss those plays. The first time I saw that play, I was watching like a compilation, and it was like the top 50 dunks in NBA history. Lo, when I tell you I saw that and I couldn't stop rewinding... Just because not only did he dunk on him and push him to the floor, but he walked over him and then just with all kinds of disrespect walked back to the other side of the court. I think the only other dunk that made me feel that type of way was Shaq was dunking on some tall white dude.
I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, where he did a drop step, dunked nuts in the face, and shoved. When I say shoved, literally put two hands and shoved him to the floor.
And it did
in the most utter case of disrespect.
And the dude picked up the ball and was like, "Get out of here, Shaq!" I was like, "Bro, you're done." On that dunk, also the Pippen thing was so crazy because after he dunked on him, he didn't like do a regular step over. Like he purposely like opened up his legs and waddled over his head. I was like, "Bro, come on." And then proceeded to walk over to Spike Lee on the court side and was like, "Sit your dumb ass down, Spike Lee," and kept walking. I was like, "Yo, that's crazy." But also, because we ranked them. See, I think that James Harden snatchback is a little bit more disrespectful than the Shaq dunk. But the other one,
I don't think so.
I mean, it's debatable. But the other one was a Sean Kemp dunk where he dunked on a dude and he sat pointed at him.
Yeah.
I was like, stop.
But I would put that fourth out of these four plays we're talking about. But that was nasty, yeah.
So James Harden, even though it was still great, it was a great moment. I don't want to like try to poo-poo or nothing like that. But it's not top five though, right?
Because I'd have to go back and watch a compilation, but
no, I just feel like we just named five, right? Did we not?
We named four.
Iverson.
The Sean Kemp.
Iverson, the, Sean Kemp, Pippen, and Shaq. Yeah, that's four. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Is Vince Carter on Alonzo Mourning? Is that five?
I don't think that was as disrespectful as the one where he... I think the one where he jumped over the guy, but that wasn't in the NBA.
Yeah, that wasn't in the NBA. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. That Harden might be tough.
Because I think it was KG that ran up to him and made it a lot more lit when he just started to hype up.
Yeah, KG
after
was going
Vince
hard.
Carter
yeah.
dumped over... By the way, we didn't talk about it, but Giannis jumped over somebody a couple weeks ago.
That is true. LeBron jumps over somebody too.
Yeah, but this was like he cleared the guy, and the guy was
Tim Hardaway.
LeBron was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the guy wasn't standing up straight, so it was a little bit. It was like Nate Robinson dunking on Dwight Howard in the dunk contest.
But the dude that LeBron
had a little bit of help.
But the dude that LeBron jumped over wasn't that tall either. I can't remember who it was, but he wasn't that tall. Tim Hardaway's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah,
and Giannis still jumped.
It was Yeah.
Is that not? Is that?
That's. I don't think that's still more disrespectful than. No. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's just certain things. I don't know. That James Harden might be top five most disrespectful things, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, it might be. We haven't really seen us. Was the floor slippery? What happens when you slip like that? Did your ankles, like,
no, his a literally bit? His ankles buckled. Like, you literally, like, saw his ankles give out on him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough.
That's, yeah, it is really tough. Yeah, man. Shout out to James Harden, man. He's, I think just like last year, man, he's one of the driving forces making the league interesting. At the end of the day, we kind of know what's going to happen and what the playoff scene is going to look like. And assuming no injuries, is pretty predictable. But he keeps the regular season lit doing crazy stuff like that. So I hope they don't lose today. I'm actually going to be cheesed if the Celtics win.
Wow.
Anyway, give us your highlight player, man. We've been waiting. By the way, the Cavs did lose to the Nuggets. They gave up 126 points to the Nuggets. Jesus. We'll keep going.
Highlight player of the week, I got, or highlight player of the podcast, I have Damian Lillard. Like I stated earlier, Damian Lillard been going off over the past few games. They're on a winning streak. They're putting up numbers. Damian Lillard is having a phenomenal month, or had a phenomenal month in February. And hopefully they're able to continue to push themselves fairly deep in the postseason. But, you know, a team that a lot of people thought may not even make the playoffs in the beginning of the season, they're in the hunt to make the third seed, especially yeah. since you know, a few players got hurt and Kawhi may not be coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know. But apparently on the update on Kawhi, they said they could get another update in a month. So he's probably going to end up coming back, it seems. It's just prolonged injury.
But
must make sure he's...
But what's Pop said he has a date for him. Like, if he doesn't come back on this date, he's not going to play him regardless of whenever he says he's going to be ready. So if Kawhi said, like, I'm ready in the middle of the postseason, he's like, no, I'm not playing you.
Well, that being said, my highlight player is Ben Wallace. What? Oh, man, that came out of nowhere, man. Agent, why is it Ben Wallace? I met him in real life. Yo, right, did you know Ben Wallace?
Okay, all right.
I have to tell you this. Because you're gonna. I want to know what you think about this.
We're not about to do this. Are you going to tell me how tall he is? Because I know he's not as tall as he's listed.
No. Hello, let me say it, man. And then you'll okay. Ben Wallace is whatever. You know how like NBA players after they're done their career, they get into like new endeavors. What Ben Wallace is getting into is RC car racing. Like they have tournaments and people dead getting paid like 30, 40, 50,000 to drive RC cars. And I don't know if you ever seen like the videos of like the robot wars where people control robots. But it's like that. And he showed me a video. It was the weirdest thing ever, man. Like it's such a weird thing to be passionate about. But I just thought it was really funny. And he was a really cool dude. And he kind of took some shots at LaVar Ball in the video. It was pretty funny. I don't know if you watched it. He basically said NBA is a sport, is not a gimmick. Because he's saying like LaVar Ball is treating it like a game, but it's serious. Like this the NBA, you got to protect the brand. I was like, okay. I mean, it's cool to get the opinion of one of the old heads in the NBA. And anyway, it was neat meeting him. He's my highlight player. Because honestly, I couldn't think of one, and I was going to give it to Westbrook for having 15% from the three-point field. But I didn't want to do that.
That's where we are. Shout out to Ben Wallace. I'm actually, my next video that I'm uploading tomorrow is going to be about the Pistons. So yeah, shout out to Ben Wallace.
Interesting. Hey, Lo, can I request a video for the people?
No. So I guess we'll see y'all next.
Wow. I seriously thought you were going to say yes, man.
Go ahead, go, bro. All
right, man. Lo, could you tell me about the Spurs before Tim Duncan? I would love to see.
You know what's crazy? One of my ideas was going to talk about the year that ruined David Robinson's career. Because David Robinson's career basically went down in a drain within a year span, which is the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, your video did well, the one about Charles Barkley. Yeah, you need to make that into a series ASAP, yeah, my guy.
How's this one gonna start doing? Yo, yeah, shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast, all my podcast people. You all, you know, we do this for y'all, man. We go out there and give our hearts on a line every single podcast just for you all. What I will start doing, though, is, or at least attempting to do so, is try to upload these every Sunday and Wednesday or Thursday, one of the two, so we can be on a schedule so you all can be expecting us to be dropping the podcast. But shout out to y'all. Shout out to the Podcast Network. Shout out to everyone who's supporting us. Shout out to Jareed, aka King of Fourth Quarter. Shout out to B Souls and them with their podcast. Shout out to Agent for almost dying. And I will see y'all next podcast.
Thanks, man. I just wanted you to bring that up one more time before that in the podcast.
Yeah, you almost died.
Peace!
Wow, you're not going to say nothing?
I said it for you.
Nah, you're not going to say nothing to the people? Wow, and you're going to take my line?
Yeah, peace! Bye. Peace!
Do you do that every single podcast? You know that's not going to catch on. That's how you sound. That's exactly how you sound.
Yeah, no, I'm going to start taking it from you, bro. That's my thing now.
Wow, you're so corny.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon, you'll have a separate fridge in the basement where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.